I'm Poppy Tooker, and on this week's Louisiana Eats, we're exploring the cocktail culture. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee and Rouse's Markets. As editor of Louisiana Kitchen magazine, Jill Benson has a bird's eye view on the most unusual, up-to-date, and often obscure goings-on in our delicious state. As Louisiana Eats roving reporter, Jill's here to give us the scoop on what's happening across our state. Jill, what's on the plate today?
Poppy, there's organic produce on the plate today, and it's coming from Lucky Liquors in Shreveport, a most unlikely source. So not so long ago, some talent scouts were roving around Shreveport, which is a hotbed for the movie industry in Louisiana. They were scouting locations for True Blood, which has become a goth television classic. And they came across Lucky Liquors, and Lucky Liquors now appears in the opening credits for True Blood, which is set in the fictitious Bon Temps, Louisiana.
Where in the world does the organic produce come in?
Well, so many of the True Blood fans went in search of this place that appears in the opening credits with their favorite television show. They came upon Lucky Liquors, and they started to frequent this combination liquor store and dusty lounge. The place is 40 years old, and Doris has been the bartender for 40 years, and Poo-Poo, and yes, he does introduce himself as Poo-Poo, so we have Doris and Poo-Poo. They're the proprietors of Lucky Liquors. Well, they were astonished when these young people who would show up to chug cocktails, and they're all tatted out, and they're sitting there smoking their cigarettes, but they only want to eat organic produce, and they were hungry, and they would repeatedly come in and request organic food. So Poo-Poo has some land over in Bossier City. So he and Doris started farming some of the land in Bossier City, and they started growing this organic produce, and they started selling it at the farmer's market in Shreveport. And most afternoons, an impromptu organic produce market now pops up in the parking lot of Lucky Liquors in Shreveport.
Yeah, that is really some hot news.
Yeah, it's pretty obscure and out there, but it's Louisiana food culture at its most baseline.
And as soon as True Blood gets rolling again, we can catch a glimpse of this place.
Huh? Absolutely. Lucky Liquors in Shreveport. Go meet Doris and Poo-Poo. I should mention that every Thursday night, Doris and Poo-Poo provide complimentary on the house, fried catfish, and on holidays, they toss in some barbecue, too.
Well, I'm getting behind the wheel of my car and heading north today. Thank you, Jill.
Oh, thank you, Poppy.
Louisiana Eats roving reporter, Jill Benson. Earlier this year, we sat down with Trey Lytle to discuss his vision for a rum distillery in Lacassine, Louisiana, which would exclusively use Louisiana-grown sugarcane. Trey told us how the whole idea came about.
We've been talking about it in a duck blind for about 5 or 6 years, and then we have been diligently working on this for a year. I worked in the rum business for years for Bacardi. We have always talked about the fact that why isn't there a distillery in the state of Louisiana with so much sugar cane? And we just decided it's time.
We called Trey to hear how things were going at the distillery. Trey, welcome back to Louisiana Eats.
Hey, glad to be here, Poppy.
Tell us, how's the construction coming along on the project?
Well, construction's moving along pretty nicely. We're finally making big progress on our visitor center. The warehouse has been finished for some time. We've moved in most of our tanks that are used for fermentation and pasteurization and storage of distilled spirits. And then we're digging ponds outside for the environmental, and the visitor center is taking shape.
That's terrific. And I read that you've also been working hard on the flavor profile of your rum. So how's the rum tasting?
Well, yes, indeed. In fact, I was talking to Jeff Murphy, our head distiller, this morning about his progress, and we're working on a couple of different fermentations even as we speak. So things are just getting started for us in that area. We have our flavor profile target in mind, but it's always up to experimentation to get it right.
So you're pretty well on target for getting rolling by the end of the year?
Yeah, we sure hope so. Things are lining up nicely. We should have the building mostly complete on the external portions of it by October. It takes a month or two to get things in. We hope to be running production batches by the end of the year.
As plans progressed, Trey and his partners discovered a potential problem for the visitor center designed to entice tourists to stop in for tours and tastings at the Louisiana Spirits facility.
When we were evaluating whether or not, you know, to build the distillery, of course, we were doing our due diligence, we came across a law in the Louisiana ATC 2011 book, which concerned us a bit, which only allowed one particular distiller to be able to taste and do product sales from their distillery site.
Oh, so there was an exemption, but there was a broader rule that was going to prevent you from doing tasting and sales?
Yes, that's correct. There was just a particular exception only. So we were very concerned about this because in our visits to other states, part of creating market awareness and the acceptance of new distillery products that we interviewed in Oregon, Kentucky, and Tennessee, even South Carolina, those distilleries have the ability to conduct tours, allow people to have a taste of the product, and if they would like, purchase product from the gift shop. And so we know that that's very important to the success of our distillery, and so we felt like we needed to get some consideration there.
So what did you do?
Well, we talked to Marion Fox, who was helping us with our location. She's in the Louisiana Economic Development Team in Jeff Davis Parish. And she said, I love a challenge. And so we knew that she could really help us. And she introduced us to Senator Dan Blade Morrish, and he called us into a meeting.
Luckily, Trey found an interested ear in Louisiana State Senator Dan Morrish of Jennings, who quickly understood what this project could mean for his district. So tell me, Senator, how were you approached on this subject, and how did this project come to be between you and Louisiana Spirits?
Well, Mr. Lytell, who is the principal with Louisiana Spirits and has a long history of the distillery business, approached me. He had leased or purchased property from an industrial development entity in Jefferson Davis Parish. They put him in touch with me to talk about his project.
And why did you decide to take it on?
Well, of course, it's economic development in southwest Louisiana, especially in a small parish like Jefferson Davis. He chose his site for a variety of reasons, but it's right on the interstate, high profile. I'm sure the Industrial Development Board there in Jefferson Davis Parish offered him some incentives and whatnot. He had made all of his commitments, and he was going to build this project with or without my legislation.
Well, explain what his problem was. What was the problem he was facing?
That's the crux of what the bill was about. There were other distillers in Louisiana, one in New Orleans, for that matter. But what we had done was we had carved out legislation or an exemption, let's put it that way. We had carved out an exemption to the law for the one distiller in New Orleans. He came to me and essentially wanted an exemption for himself. And when I talk about the exemption, in Louisiana, as in most other states, when you deal with alcohol and with liquor, there's the three tiers of distribution. Basically, you have the manufacturer, you have the distributor, and you have the retailer. And it's worked for years. For instance, you don't see Budweiser selling their product out of their warehouse at retail. Budweiser brews it, sells it to a distributor, then sells it at retail.
So what they were looking to do was be able to sell their product and offer tours and tastings, right?
Correct. And actually, being able to talk tours was not really in the law. They had the ability to do that. But they really didn't think they had the ability to do tasting and to sell their product. And, of course, Mr. Lytle was located right on Interstate 10, plans on having a big gift shop and signs and try and get people off the interstate to come in and try his product. And hopefully someone from Nebraska would come through and taste his product and maybe buy some. And then maybe go back to Nebraska and tell his local retailer, hey, I want you to get some of this Louisiana rum on your shelves.
So instead of an exemption, you decided to set out and actually change the law.
That's exactly right. When I met with the ATC commissioner, Alcohol and Tobacco Control Commissioner, Troy Hebert, who was a former state senator, who also a former state representative, and Troy and I served together in both the House and the Senate. When I met with Troy, he and I visited, and he said, you know, why don't we just fix this thing once and for all instead of carving out these exemptions? So that's what we did. Basically, the law says if you qualify as a distiller in Louisiana, then you qualify to be able to sell your product in your place, have a tasting, and have a limited number of retail sales.
Well, usually changing a law involves a lot of time, extensive debate, and I understand that this went through pretty quickly and smoothly. So what was your experience when you introduced this bill?
Well, I had a lot of questions, but I think as we began to explain it to folks, especially the people on the committees that handle it, they completely understood, especially the fact that instead of carving out an exemption for every time a distiller came along, this took care of any distillers now and into the future. If you meet the state's qualification as a distiller, then you also meet the qualification to do these things that this bill allows you to do, and essentially that's to sell your product out of your place.
As I understand it, one of the results of this bill is that there are an increasing number of people looking at creating distilleries in Louisiana.
No, I don't know if it's from the bill, but it may well be, because when I originally talked to Mr. Lytle, he explained to me that that was one of the biggest issues that they had, was that they weren't able to allow people to sample and then to turn around and buy their product. Now, understand, Poppy, you and I can't back a 18-wheeler up and buy product.
Right.
It's limited to a case of the product, I believe, every 6 months. It can only be the product that is distilled in that distillery. You can't sell other alcoholic products, only the one that you distill.
I understand.
So it's, you know, it's very tight in what it allows the distilleries to do, but it's no different than if you would go to a distillery in Kentucky or Tennessee where they're allowed to do the same thing.
Trey was very excited about the potential these changes present for his Louisiana spirits vision.
We're building it as a tourist destination. We want people to come by, spend some time with us, go view our stills and take a tour and see how rum is made from the raw materials of Louisiana. And then they can have a small sip of what our product is. They can experience it. And then if they would like to, they could buy a bottle and take it with them.
Well, congratulations. That's just fantastic news. And I have to ask you, the last time you were here, you didn't actually have a name for the rum. You only had a name for the business, which, of course, is Louisiana Spirits. Are you ready to tell us the big news yet?
Very tempting, Poppy, but we're not quite ready yet. We have a couple of things that we need to be sure of before we want to make that announcement. So,
okay, well, I'm counting on you to call me first.
Absolutely, I will. Hey, I wanted to mention one other thing that, you know, the sampling and the product sales are not in any way meant to replace the value that our distributor will bring to us and the value that retailers bring in building a brand of rum. We think that this will only help kind of the reputation of our product and help them in sales of the product as well. So I wanted to mention that we're very supportive of the three-tier system, which includes the manufacturer, which we are, the distributor, and the retailers.
Well, we look forward to visiting you out there in Lacassine by the end of the year. We're coming.
Awesome, awesome. We'd love to host you.
Louisiana Spirits' Trey Lytle and State Senator Dan Morrish, changing the future for all Louisiana distillers. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, food writer Brett Anderson spills the beans on the changes at the Times-Picayune. And don't forget to tune in at our new times, Wednesday at 1 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m. on WWNO and at 1 p.m. on Saturdays on WRKF in Baton Rouge.
Whatever happens, I do think that there are people in place who do incredible work, who I think and hope are going to be in the position to continue doing that really valuable work. And as painful as this last couple of months have been, I'm still trying to be as optimistic about the future of that organization as I can be.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Rouse's Markets, and Zatarain's. Additional support provided by Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, Palace Cafe, and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cookin' Magazine. Theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, produced at Piety Street Recording. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, our associate producer and sound engineer. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.